Well, if you would tonight, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8, we'll begin reading here the first verse of Matthew chapter number 8. And we begin a new section of the book of Matthew, and Jesus begins and spends some time here in His miracle ministry. He has told us and preached to us the greatest message ever preached, and now He's going to show us His power. We look here together in Matthew chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And we see this, and we have our context. Verse number 1, the Bible says, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. Now, let me get this picture with me for just a moment in your mind's eye. And we can see Jesus has concluded the Sermon on the Mount. He comes off of that mount into the town. There's a multitude of people following Him. And quite frankly, as I look at it, I think that this leper is probably responding to the message. Jesus has just said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. As a leper, he wouldn't have been right in that mass multitude, but I've got a feeling that he's probably listening. And either way, the bottom line is he has a burden for the need that he has, and he knows the only place there's any hope for him is to go to Christ. And we meet this man. The Bible says when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And we're going to look tonight at a simple message, the leper and the Lord. The leper and the Lord. And the first person we meet is this leper. The Bible says, behold, there came a leper. Now, leprosy in these days was a terrible, awful, tragic disease. As a matter of fact, there's actually lepers yet today. And leprosy is a terrible disease. At this time, if you had leprosy, it was a diagnosis of death. And leprosy was a long, taxing, grueling death. Not only did it cause great problems to your body, but it also excommunicated you from society. If someone, no matter how rich or poor, received the diagnosis of leprosy, they were cast outside of the city. They would be in a leper's community, and they would be there to die. If you came as a leper into public, you'd have to declare with your hands over your face as you came into contact with anybody. You'd have to cry aloud, unclean, unclean, unclean. If you didn't obey that law, you'd be stoned to death. Leprosy was something that ate away at the flesh, and little by little, the appendages of the body began to rot and would actually fall off. And we meet this man at a desperate time, in a desperate moment. The Bible says he was a leper. He was a leper. He was a leper. He didn't have a relationship with his family the way he wanted. He didn't have a relationship with his church the way he wanted. He didn't have a relationship with anyone the way he wanted. And his life was on a direct course to death and destruction. He was a leper. It was a tragic situation to be in, and I believe having heard the words of Jesus and sensed the moving of the Spirit of God, the Bible moves in this man's heart to come to the Lord. Number one, the leper. The leper. The leper, he had leprosy. Leprosy seems like a hopeless situation, and in this time, without Christ, it was. When we look at leprosy, we look at the situation this man was in, we must be reminded that no situation is too bad or too dire or too far gone for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read this passage of Scripture and we meet a leper and we know the conclusion, we know the story, we know how it happens. This leper is healed of his leprosy. When we see God working miracles in the Bible, we should be reminded that God can and will and does work miracles among us. The situation you found yourself in, though it may seem dire and difficult, it is not impossible for God. The leprosy of your life, the thing that caused you such great grief and sorrow, the thing that's burdening you, the leprosy that you seem to find and you've met with hopelessness. Folks, I want you to know something. There's no situation too bad, too far gone, that Jesus can't change it. We just have to learn where to go. Now, the leper, at a time of desperation, he understood, if there's any hope for me, I'm going to have to find that hope in Christ. The Bible says in verse number 2, "Behold, there came a leper." What did the leper do? He came to Christ. He came to Christ. Now, at this time, there was no doubt in this area, a leper's community. This was a popular, common disease. We hear and talk, see about lepers all through the Scripture. And the lepers, it was not unusual. It was something that was typical. There were lots of lepers. And the leper, one leper, said, "You know what? I'm not going to sit in this leper's community any longer. I'm not going to let the conditions of my life and this situation, though it seems hopeless, and I'm not going to let the words from the men around me and the women around me, the people around me that says, 'You're hopeless, you're going to die, there's no chance.' I'm not going to let that stop me." What did that leper do? One of many. The Bible says he came. He came to Christ. He went to the Lord. He went to a place where he found he could find help. Folks, you can look for help in all kinds of places for the things that burden you, the things that wear you down, the things that eat you up. But you'll find hope and you'll find peace when you begin to come to Jesus with your burden. The Bible says that we can cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. What can you do with the burden that you bear? You can roll it over. The Bible, that word cast, really means to roll it over. You can roll it over on the Lord. You may not be able to carry it, but it's no problem, no burden for the Lord. We can rest in the Lord. And this leper, what did he do? He came to the Lord. He came to the Lord. It doesn't stop there. The Bible says, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him." What did he do? He worshiped the Lord. Now, when you worship the Lord, what are you doing? You're declaring God worthy. When you worship the Lord, you declare yourself unworthy. When you worship the Lord, you humble yourself. In another parallel passage, the book of Mark, chapter 1, somewhere in the 40s there in the verses, Mark, giving account of the same story, says that this man fell at Christ's feet. Matthew accurately depicts what he did when he fell at Christ's feet was worship the Lord. When we find ourselves in a situation, a leprous situation, a hopeless situation, the answer and the hope that we have is found at the feet of Jesus. Oh, it's so wise to humble ourselves before the Lord. It is so wise to seek God for aid and strength and help in our time of weakness and need. You see, the leper, he worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He found healing at the feet of Christ. The Scripture continues in verse number 2, "And worshiped Him, saying, 'Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean.'" If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. What did Jesus want? I'm sorry, let me back up. What did the leper want? He wanted to be made what? Clean. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I see three words. They jump right off the page at me. Make me clean. Make me clean. It was a desperate situation. He said, "Make me clean." Put yourself in the leper's position for just a moment. Who knows what digit had fallen off most recently? Who knows what wound he was nursing at the time? And it was the uncleanness, it was the filthiness of the disease. And he said, "Oh Lord, make me clean." What did he have? He had a sincere, urgent desire to be made clean. About a year and a half ago, the boys and I, we had made a trip to Chilhowee and just found out, we spent the night, and I found out the day before that my uncle had a load of cattle he was going to work. I thought, my lands, we need to get in on that. That'll be fun. We did not come prepared, and I took the boys out, and we worked a load of cattle. There's about 100 steers in a pen overnight, and it came a big rain. Ian and Hudson and I went and helped work those cattle, and I gave Hudson and Ian the job of running out in the pen and driving the cattle into where we could work them. The problem was they weren't prepared. The only thing Hudson had to wear that morning to work cattle in was a pair of sandals, shorts, and a t-shirt. Now, you can only imagine what kind of mess we made. And we had I sent him out there, and he stomped, and they played and worked and helped. And they were nasty. When we got finished, I stood him up the best I could and took a water hose and washed him off. But there was still filth in places that I couldn't get to with a water hose right there on that spot. So I put him in the car. We had to get back to North Carolina. Put him in the car, and we headed back home. When we got to the house, they decided they wanted to play. I said, that's fine. They were nasty. I said, just play in the yard. Don't come in the house. And so they played in the yard, and I went in the house while they were playing, and I got cleaned up, and I was laying across the foot of the bed. I'll never forget it. I was laying across the foot of the bed, and Hudson came in the house. And he says, I didn't hear him. I mean, I didn't see him, but he comes in the room, and he says, Dad? I turned around and looked. He's holding his arm. I looked at him, and I said, what's going on, buddy? He said, I think I broke my arm. Well, I took one look, and I knew that he'd broke his arm. What used to be straight was now crooked. I thought, well, we're going to go to the hospital and make the crooked straight, you know. And he had made a mess. He had decided that he would jump off of the treehouse onto the trampoline, and it just didn't work, did it? So he's holding his broken arm, and I look at him from toe to head, and I think, oh, man, he's nasty. I said, Hudson, you're going to hate this, but we're going to have to get a shower before you can go to the hospital. I didn't want to get put in jail for child abuse, and I thought, I don't want anybody to think that poorly of my wife when I take them to the hospital. They're that dirty. But I had a sudden urge. You know what I saw? I looked at him. I said, man, your arm's broken. That's bad. We got to get to the hospital. But you know what I knew and I wanted to do, I had to do more important than anything else? I got to get him clean. I got to get him clean. And the urge that this man had, he says, I'm dirty. I'm filthy. I've got to get clean. I've got to get cleaned up. I wonder, I appreciate what Pastor Chuck said. I wonder, in your Christian life, are you clean? Is your heart clean before the Lord? Are you walking with God? Is your relationship to Christ one that's pure and pleasing to the Father? Or is there filth? Well, it so easily creeps up and creeps in, does it not? I wonder, I've thought about it this way. How many of you today are watching things, participating in things, doing things that in your Christian life just a few years ago would have made you cringe? How many of you have conversations about subjects that you know aren't pleasing to the Lord? You have bitterness in your heart that you know is not pleasing to the Lord. Folks, I want you to know something. This man we're looking at today, he had a leprosy. And it was filthy. And it was killing him. But sin in our hearts and our lives, it condemns us. It hurts us. And Jesus Christ in love sends messages like this to let us know, hey, I love you. You don't have to live in the filthiness of sin. You don't have to bear the burden of leprosy. You don't have to have the separation from your family. You don't have to have the separation from people. You don't have to live in this bondage because I'll clean you. But this man got to the place, he said, make me clean. Make me clean. Oh, may God help us to have an urgent desire to be clean before the Lord. I love this passage of Scripture. I quote it often to myself and often preach it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What does this man want? He wanted to be clean. He said, "Lord, make me clean." He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." What do you want? Oh, he wanted to be clean. Folks, I'll have you know something. Your leprosy is not so far advanced that Jesus can't clean you up. Your leprosy is not so far advanced that Jesus can't make a difference. Your life has not gone too far out of the way that Jesus can't clean you up. Isn't it wonderful? The leper. Number two, the Lord. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Verse number 3, the Bible says, "Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." What did Jesus do? Jesus, the Bible says, put forth his hand. In Mark chapter number 1, I want to read this verse to you, the parallel account of this passage of Scripture. Mark chapter number 1, and I'll read it to you, Mark chapter 1, verse number 40. The Bible says in verse 41, "Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." How did Jesus respond to this leper? Jesus responded to this leper with compassion. Now, the Bible implies this and makes it very clear in Matthew chapter number 1. He put forth his hand. He didn't do this. He did this. He didn't stand back. At the cry, unclean, he didn't say, "Whoa, Nelly." You can just imagine the situation. There was a multitude around Jesus, and this man would have had to have cried unclean as he came in the presence of Christ. If he were in the back of the auditorium, there's multitudes around Christ, he would have began crying, "Unclean, unclean." And as he cried unclean, and the multitude heard him, the waters would have parted with the people. And Jesus would have been watching him as he came into the presence of the leper. And when the leper came, what did Jesus do? With compassion. Amen. He reached out his hand. Folks, I want you to know something. When you come to Christ with your trespasses, when you come to Christ with your illness, when you come to Christ with your burden, when you come to the Lord, guess what happens? Jesus doesn't say, "I don't want anything to do with you." Jesus comes with his hand outstretched in compassion, reaching for you. Jesus, the Lord, shows compassion. Not only does he show compassion, but he looks on this man with compassion in his heart. Then he shows action. You see, it's one thing to be moved with compassion in our hearts, but our compassion should come out in our actions. I love what Jesus did for this leper, and he'll do the same for you. But Jesus sets an example for us all. What should we do? We should have compassion on the leper. We should move with compassion on the leper as we extend our hand. And then look what the Bible says that Jesus did. The Bible says in verse number 3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. What did he do? He touched him. To touch a leper in this day would be to take his leprosy. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus did. Jesus took our sins away. Nailed them to the cross. Paid the price for our sins. He took them away. Jesus touched this man, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I wonder how Christ-like we are. You see, I've not seen or ever met a leper. I know some people who have. There's a famous missionary, Tommy Tillman, who's been working in Mongolia with leper communities for years and years, and his stories are fascinating. I've never met a leper, a person who actually had the disease. What's a leper look like in 2019? Jesus expects us to reach out to the lepers and be Christ-like. What's a leper look like? I'll tell you what he looks like. He don't smell just right. He doesn't act just right. But he needs the Lord. A leper may be the person you see at the mall that's got all black. And if you were to run into them in a dark alley, you'd be scared to death. Those are people who need the Lord. A leper, somebody who doesn't talk like a Christian. A leper, somebody who doesn't act like a Christian. A leper, somebody in this community that needs Christ. What did Jesus do to the lepers? Jesus reached out to them. Jesus got involved in their lives. And we can really learn something from the leper and the Lord. This man, he was immediately healed and cleansed of his leprosy. Do you know what people that don't look right and don't act right and don't live right, don't smell right, do you know what they need? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. It's so easy to have a pharisaical approach to people who aren't like us. And it's like, unclean. You are unclean. You don't even have to tell me. I don't want anything to do with you. But Jesus approached and touched someone who needed Christ. When's the last time that you personally got involved in the life of someone that needed Jesus? How many of you can think of somebody that needs Jesus? Just think for just a moment. Ask God to show you somebody that needs Jesus. How many right now can think of somebody that needs Jesus? Would you raise your hand? How long has it been since you got personally involved in telling that person about Jesus? How long has it been since you reached out to them and touched them and tried to help them, encourage them, be a blessing, and point them to the Savior? Oh my God, help us. You see, if we're going to be Christ-like, we can't look at the leper like the Pharisee and say, oh, filthy, unclean. If we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to have to reach out and touch them, help them, and point them to the Savior. May God help us to learn from the leper and the Lord. Look at the third thing, the priest. Verse number 4 is a confounding verse of Scripture. When I read it, you'll agree with me. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, everything I read and everything I study, Jesus in the Scripture says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here this leper is healed, and Jesus looks at him and says, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Do you think that's because Jesus didn't want anybody else to know the secret? Not at all. But Jesus is at work here, and we need to see a couple of things I think are very, very important. The Bible says, Jesus said to him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, Jesus wasn't telling this guy, don't tell folks about me. He says, but I want to direct you and I want to help you to help people the best you possibly can. Here's what he's doing. What happens when you see a leper cleansed and you're a leper? You come to Jesus, here I am, my finger fell off, I need you to fix that. You're a leper and you come to Jesus and you want healing. In this day and age, if you were blind and you came to Jesus, you want sight. And the miracle working of Christ in the New Testament is very important, but it's not most important. Folks, I want you to know something. I believe that God heals folks from cancer. And I believe that God gives sight to the blind. And I believe that God does great miraculous works in our bodies. And it's wonderful. And for some of you right now, I'm praying God will promote healing in your body. But the most important miracle work that God can do is not to touch your body so that you can live a little bit longer on this earth. The greatest miracle that God can do is to point you to Calvary, where you can get forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, peace with God, joy and fulfillment and contentment in this life, and everlasting life in heaven. You see, the greatest miracle that Jesus ever does is when He saves a soul, that person passes from death into life and receives at that moment the gift of everlasting life. That is a miracle. And the greatest of miracles. Jesus looks at this leper. He says, look, what I want you to do is I don't want you to tell anybody. But I want you to go to the priest. And when you go to the priest, I want you to inform him that you have been healed of leprosy and you would like to go through the procedure that Moses in the law laid down to be gone through, the ritual, the sacrifice that is to be gone through when someone is healed of leprosy. He says, I want you to go do that. I want you to do it as a testimony to them. What was Jesus wanting him to do? I want to show you. Sometimes you can read the book of Leviticus and your eyes go crossed. I understand. But if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Leviticus. I can't even say it. That's how. Leviticus number four, chapter 14. Leviticus chapter number 14. Now Jesus had told this man, He said, now, you go and you tell the priest that you've been healed of leprosy. And tell him you want to go through the process of ceremonial cleansing from the temple. Do it as a testimony to that priest. Leviticus chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off, his head, his beard, his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes also. He shall wash his flesh in water and he shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the 1st year without blemish, and 3 tenths deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he-lamb, and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave him for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Now this was what was to be done. Sometimes you read that, your eyes go cross. And can you imagine, it's kind of funny to me, but can you imagine the leper? He walks up and knocks on the priest's door. Hey, man. Jesus sent me down here. I've been healed of leprosy. And I'm told that I'm supposed to ask you to do what Moses in the law declared to be done for a man that's been healed of leprosy. I'll just tell you, I can about guarantee that the priest had not recently been through this ritual. I can guarantee you the priest is like, oh my land, I'm going to have to open my Bible. He went and read Leviticus chapter number 14. He said, I'm going to have to make some notes and figure out how to do this. And no doubt the priest did what was required of him. Why did Jesus look at a leper and say, hey, look, don't tell anybody about this, but go to the priest and go through the cleansing? Because Jesus wanted to make a point. It's not about getting healing in this present world and the decay of our flesh being made whole that matters the most. He said, I want you to go to the priest. And I want you to watch and observe as the sacrifices, the innocent blood is shed, representing the fact that Jesus Christ will soon die on the cross for your sins, and that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. And I want you to see on your ear the blood, and on your thumb the blood, and on your toe the blood, and the fact that the blood of Christ must be applied for the forgiveness of your sins. And he said, and I want you to have the oil on your ear and on your thumb and on your toe. And I want you to feel the oil as it comes across your head, because you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and covered with the blessings of God. And if you're going to live to the fullness and you're going to die to the fullest, you're going to have the blessings of God and the person of God and the Holy Spirit indwelling in your heart and Jesus working in your life. He says, I want you to know, so it's not all about the healing. And for that matter, the feeling. He says, it's all about the Lamb. It's all about the Savior. It's all about Jesus. I'm personally convinced that this leper became a great witness for the Lord. Why? Because when he left the Lord, now we see in the book of Mark, he told a bunch of people, but he went ahead and did what he was supposed to too. But I think he became to the place where he understood that this is about Jesus and everlasting life and salvation through faith in Christ so much more than it is healing of my body. You see, if we're going to be the best witness that we can, if we're going to make the greatest difference in the lives of the people that we love, if you want to be Christ-like, you know what you have to do? You're going to have to point people to Christ. Oh, I have a benevolent heart. I really do. If I heard that you were hungry, I couldn't sleep tonight until I got you fed. When people are in need, my heart pours out to them, and I want to help people who are hurting with the things of this life. And if I can, I will. But if we're going to help people the most, we're not going to simply meet their earthly needs. We're going to point them to Calvary, where Jesus Christ shed His blood and paid the price for our sins. And it is His love and His forgiveness and His peace and hope we have in Christ that matters the most. You see, this leper on this day, he got healed of his leprosy. But he also got discipled in the truth. Now, the greatest thing that Jesus would ever do for him would pay the price for his sins on the cross of Calvary. That's the story and the message of the leper and the Lord. I wonder tonight, if you're here and you say, I'm a leper. My sin separates me from God. I've allowed uncleanness to become prominent and prevalent, consistent in my heart and life. I pray you'll become like that leper and you'll fall at the feet of Jesus and get the help that you need. You say, I'm trying hard. Trying hard's not enough. You need to come to Christ. You say, I'm already saved. That's good. You need to confess your sins to Christ and come to faith in Christ and live for Jesus today. like the leper, your situation is not too far gone. The Lord, oh, what a benevolent spirit the Lord had. What compassion He had. What did Jesus do to the leper? He reached out and touched him. I wonder, are you investing in the lives of people who need Christ? Pray you will. And when you do reach out, learn from the lesson of the Lord. Point them to Jesus, His finished work on Calvary, because it is Christ's work on the cross that truly changes lives. Let's pray.